Right.
His two sons, supposedly, or three sons, one went back to Syria, right?
Oh, Mars.
Went back,
which is third dimensional Mars.
That's
which
right.
We now see the ruins of.
Possibly. Okay. Right. They went. Right. One son went back to Syria. And started the line that became the House of Sauron, right? It was his daughter that was Sauron.
Right.
Okay. His two brothers went on to Earth and tried to kill each other frequently and have done for eons. They will probably do for eons.
Why not?
Oh, come on. When you two get your swords out and start poking each other.
Oh, we're just messing around having fun. Never serious. We're working quite well together as a team, I might add.
Oh.
And we're brothers, right? Brothers-in-law.
Close enough. Close enough. I think the term brothers and outlaws brings to mind for some reason.
Yeah.
But could you scan a picture in if I was to draw a line and then put in the tree?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. If you want to kill the paper, get me a piece of paper. Okay, Russ, this is what you will need. Russ, this is what you will need for a ceremony in Syria. You will need 24 white candles for the outside. You will need 12 candles for the inside. You will draw a circle that is by your height and 2 of your inches on top of your height. You will need a bowl of water. The bowl must be clear. Glass will do. You will need a little burning device. Not a camping stove, a little miniature barbecue. You will need charcoal. You will need incense. You will need red wine. You will need flowers. The colors of the flowers are very important. You will need red flowers, green flowers, blue flowers, and white flowers. You will arrange them in groups of 2. 2 red, 2 white, 2 blue, and 2 green. And you will continue all the way around, lining the outer circle with those candles. You will spread the 24 outer candles evenly spaced around the outside of the circle at evenly spaced intervals. You will draw within the outer circle a star with 24 points. But it must be designed in a way that it does not touch the inner circle. The inner circle will be drawn within that area. The inner circle will have the 12 candles spaced evenly around the edges of the candle. In the center, you will have the barbecue type arrangement with charcoal, not briquette charcoal, real charcoal. That is the setup. The incense will be spread around. 1 stick of incense for each compartment in the star. You will need in the center a small table next to the burning barbecue. You'll have that covered with a cloth of red. You will have on that a 5-stick candle holder, or 5 candlesticks. You will have in the center, red. On either side, green. 2 green candles for 1 red candle, and then 2 blue candles. You will arrange that in a kind of semicircle, or an arc. In front of that, you will place the bowl of water. Then you will get some more incense. You will put incense around the edge of the bowl, little holders dotted all the way around so that you have smoke coming off the top of it. You will then add to this flowers that will float in the bowl. In the bowl, you place one big blue candle. That's why you need the blue candle, Russ. Not only for your earth ceremony, but for us. Bigger, the better, the taller. You will light it. As the wax drips off and drains out, it will float around free, mixed with the flowers. The flowers, again, you will have red, white, blue, and green floating in the water. Okay, now let's get to the serious part. Right? Now, you can do this singly or with a group of people. It doesn't matter. You will need to get from the ground soil, from the fireplace, ashes or soot, uncontaminated ashes, no artificial additives whatsoever. So it must be wood only. In one hand, you will hold the ashes. In the other hand, you hold the soil from the ground. Again, it cannot be artificial soil taken from a nursery that has all chemical additives. It must be pure soil. You offer the soil and the ash as the basis of life. From this, all things come. The soil is offered in one hand. The soil is the nutrients that the tree of life and the flowers from the ground grow on. You open your hand and let it drain to the floor. In the other hand, you have the ashes, the remains of the leaves and the trees and the plants return to the ground. You let that go. You kneel and you face towards the pole star of your planet. On Sirius, it's kind of like your North Star, but it's not. It's kind of off to one side. But you kneel to the pole star. You call a blessing on the gods' names. Too many to list, but you call on the god of wisdom, call on the god of knowledge, you call on the god of intelligence. You call on the goddess of healing, the goddess of love, and the goddess of light. You turn to the four cardinal points, and you bless the cardinal points. I bless the cardinal points with all my power, all my might, and all my strength, in truth, justice, and wisdom. Each point, you repeat that phrase. You then kneel down again within the circle, central circle. You kneel down and face the candle. You look within yourself and summons your strength. I, Kiri Tanaka, summons the strength of truth, power, might, wisdom, justice. I summons the power of truth, justice, wisdom, intelligence, knowledge. I seek intelligence, knowledge, and wisdom. I will use them for good only. The power within me is the power without me. The strength, the energy, the feel. The blood of my veins is the blood of my sisters that have gone before. In your case, you would say the blood of your brothers. I summons the strength from within to protect those without. I call upon the energy harnessed within. I focus the energy within. With love, justice, and truth, I wield that power for right. I protect. I look after. I guide. I pray to the points of the cardinal compass and ask for their blessing. I call upon the mighty. And the mighty is never named. Gender of the mighty is never named. Because the mighty is both and has many names. Too many names to list at this time. But the mighty is the mighty one. I call upon the power of the mighty one to fill me with his strength. Oops, mistake. I call upon the power of the Mighty One to fill me with strength, energy, knowledge, and wisdom. I promise to use the power given to me only for good, only for light, only for truth, only for justice, only for wisdom, only for knowledge. I promise to use the power of the Mighty never to harm, never to corrupt, never to serve myself, never for self-good, never to harm, never to taint. Then you pause, and you wait, and you wait about 100 heartbeats, and then you call again, and this time you say, I summons, and your voice inflection is very important. Do you want me to give you the full power of the voice? I summons the power of the Mighty, the power within to grow, to bloom, to fill. I promise to use the power of the Mighty only for good, never for harm, only for knowledge, never to corrupt. I promise to pledge my strength for truth and justice. I promise never to harm the innocent, the pure, the just, the children, the naive. Then you pause. I feel something. Is it up here or down there? It's up in the base. Tia's looking a little bit concerned, so the technicians and monitors are going funny. Just happened when I called. Don't think I should have called, you know. Okay. And then you would probably take a glass from the altar, fill it with wine, and you would offer it to each person in the circle. Let us say that you're on your own. You take just a sip, and you would pass it, in theory, to the next person, but you're on your own. You pour the wine once it's been filled, or once you've taken your sip. What's left, you pour into the bowl. Right, and it's like, with the candle, but you don't pour it over the candle. Okay. So, the water has the wine in it now. You take the glass, and you hold it over the candle and turn it. Right, and as you turn it, you're taking energy from the candle, and the power from the candle. And as you're doing that, you bless the candle, you bless the strength, you bless the glass, and you bless the water. And you keep on turning it until you've got a nice black soot all the way around. You run your finger all the way around, right? Cross with the hands going up. And on the top, do the cross, and do the central part, as on the altar, the five candles. Then you kneel again. And this is where the importance of the size comes into the hand. Right? You kneel down, then you lay down on your stomach, arms outstretched, so that they're touching the sides of the circle, but do not leave the circle. You close your eyes, and you feel the strength of the Mighty One fill you. It may take 10 minutes, may take 20 minutes, may take a half an hour. When you're ready and you feel the strength within you, you kneel again in the center of the altar or the circle. Now, the fire should be burning quite low by this point. You skim the flowers off. And this is why you need charcoal, not briquettes. You pour them into the barbecue center so that they catch fire and burn. And you wait and you watch them burn until they are gone. And at this point, the fire should start to burn down much lower. you move the center out. Everything that's in the center gets moved to the edges, except for the fire altar. Put the fire altar in the center. You bless the fire center, and you call upon the Mighty One again for the last time. And you ask him to fill you with love, power, truth, justice, wisdom, knowledge. You promise to protect the innocent, the pure. You promise never to use your abilities to harm, corrupt, deviate, or for self-service. You ask for a blessing. You bless the fire altar. You bless the water altar. You summon the strength and power within of the ancestors that have gone before. I summon the power of my sisters. In truth, love, wisdom, knowledge, and justice. You kneel before the fire altar. You bless it. And then you go to the outer candles. And you bless each outer candle. I bless you with the power of love, knowledge, and wisdom. You repeat that 24 times to 24 candles. You come back to the center. You bless the 12. And then you turn around and ask for understanding and knowledge, and you extinguish the 12. And as you extinguish each one, you bless it as you extinguish it. You go to the outer and extinguish each outer candle and ask for love and understanding from each candle. You return to the center. You take the 5. And they should be firmly cemented within their container. You walk to the water, and you hold it and put it in the water. And as you put it in the water, you exchange the power of fire and light for the power of water. And then you kneel before the water altar for the last time, and you bless it. And then you bless the fire altar. You clap your hands 9 times. And each time you clap your hands, you make a blessing. And the blessing is, in love, light, and wisdom, the power of the mighty, I share with my sisters, or brothers in your case. Here endeth the ceremony. And when you get to the end, you say, here endeth the ceremony. Do you have any questions?
Yeah.
Should be able to find some.
You have it called for a
6-foot. Now, what if you have more people? You can have everything all laying down at once. No. No. You kneel in the center. Yeah. Or actually, the way that we ladies do it is that we will sit down with our feet touching the edges back to back all the way around. If there's 2 of you, it's a little bit difficult, but you will sit in a circle and there will be a center in the circle, and you will have somebody stand in that center if there's enough of you.
Now, if you call for the outer circle,
mm-hmm.
and the inner circle inside of that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the 24
candles on the outside
and
12
on the inside, even laying down and putting your feet up, you've got to position yourself so that your limbs go through the candle.
That's correct.
You've got to be very careful in the placement of your limbs and not move around a whole lot.
That's correct. When you lie down, you are stationary. Right. When you sit, right, the candle should be between your legs.
Now, mentioned calling upon God, truth, wisdom, justice.
Mm-hmm.
The Syrian gods.
Correct. Probably not, no.
Well,
but the principle, exactly,
would remember
them.
No.
You are invoking an old ceremony, which will attract a lot of attention from the divas that remember.
Right. Now,
those are their names. You want their Syrian names?
Yeah.
Ka, wisdom. Tra, not tra, tra, is for justice. Huh is for knowledge. Let me translate back to Syrian the, was it truth, justice, wisdom, knowledge, and the last one is power, I think. And I've covered three, right? I've covered truth, justice, and wisdom. Okay, knowledge is Nala. Not Nala, Nala. And power is Praya. 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 Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, actually, Praya means a little bit more than just power. It means bright, powerful, and strong. And he is always last. And he is male, very male. And every time you mention him, he is last. For the simple reason, he is the one that makes the entrance. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the reason why I think the monitors went haywire is the fact that a couple of divas that kick around the base suddenly went, "What?" and heard it and came flying. I think I've got a technician that's run off to check things out.
Now,
mm-hmm.
Wouldn't even those who come from other divas remember?
They'd have to think about it first. It'd be like, that sounds familiar. Now, where have I heard that? Whereas the old ones will go, "Ooh, I haven't heard that in a few years." Prick up their ears, figure of speech, of course, prick up their ears and go, "Let's see what's going on here." So who's the diva you ask for last of all? Praya. Okay, now, that's right. Correct. Well, what you actually do is that you would work off of the points where they all join. The points where each line joins is the marking points for the inner circle. Yeah. You can take something like a pentagram and keep on rotating it so that their points are evenly spaced. So you have 24 points. You want to take a six-pointed star, which would be Star of David. Well, you'd actually move it four times. And you would actually see a circle develop within there. Mm-hmm. Probably could. Mm-hmm. Okay, Tia says she's not going to do her spirit hair ceremony because the back of her hair is all standing up at the moment.
Yeah, we've got enough interest in our little mm-hmm. meeting tonight as it is.
In fact, the temperature in this room has hopped up, if you might have noticed. I think you might have had a few things wander through. Can you feel any energy? That's why I started looking around, so I wasn't quite sure. Yeah, but there is definite increase. Yeah. Okay, let's switch that off. I want to check out your where you're going to be holding it.
That works.
I believe so. I really don't know the full workings of Ashtar Command.
For example, just take Hayden Gates alone.
Mm-hmm.
Omal, who is the leader,
mm-hmm.
still has many people below him to carry out those things he does, but he does not make all the decisions on the base.
No.
I mean, this would be an example of Hayden Gates that we're talking about here.
Yeah, basically. He is the leader, but he has advisors that say to him, I think we should do this, I think we should do that. And he's nodding. Anyway, I better put him on.
Okay, speaking of him on.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of the boss, right? It still sounds a little feminine in here.
Not me.
Greetings and felicitations and welcome, Russ. First of all, let us get down to business at hand. How to shield. First of all, shielding. Shielding's primary function is to protect an individual from hostile environments, whether it is a physical shield of glass, brick, mortar, stone, whatever, or a mental shield generated by the mind. Let us look at the latter. Shields generated from the mind. What is the function and purpose of shields generated from the mind? Well, the primary function is to protect oneself from a hostile environment where minds try to overpower yours, to inflict images of harm, mental projections, or coercion. How do you generate a shield? The shield is generated from within to protect the exterior of an individual. Why would one want a shield? Shields are generated to protect the individual so the individual can focus and carry on their assigned path. What environments would be ideal for shields? They vary from situation to situation. You may want to use shields to protect yourself from negative emotions. You may want to use shields to protect yourself from aggressive thoughts. You may want to use shields to protect yourself against actions of others on a mental level. You may want to use shields to protect yourself from individuals projecting thoughts into your mind which are harmful to you or self-serving towards them. Okay, constructions of shields. There are many different types of constructions. Constructions of shields vary from situation to situation, individual to individual. This is because the necessary mental energy that is useful to create these shields is not always constant. Constant energy implies that you are on a constant emotional level. I have yet to meet an airplane or any bipedal carbon-based life form or any other life form lower than the seventh dimension that has no emotions. Emotions serve a purpose in shielding. An aggressive individual would use aggressive shielding. I will get into dealing with shielding and what type of shielding shortly. What is the best way to use shields? Again, that varies from individual to individual, situation to situation. A full body suit of armor projected from the mind to cover the body may work in one situation, but not in another. It may work for one person, but not another. It all depends on the attitude, and environmental factors that are necessary to generate the correct shield. For example, in a situation where somebody is using seductive coercion, an aggressive shield would not work. Where an individual is using aggressive energy to try to penetrate and control somebody, obviously a seductive shield would not work. It would easily be broken. In this situation, shields use force for force, seduction for seduction. Hostile or aggressive shields in hostile or aggressive situations. Okay, now let us look at building and designing your own shields. First of all, for the novice, it is best to keep these shields simple and straightforward. For example, shielding an individual against an environment. Obviously, a beginner is not going to be able to stand up to somebody that is a master coercer. So it is best to accept one's fact or fate and not waste energy on these situations. However, by practicing and learning shielding, you can advance quite rapidly to a level where you can protect yourself proficiently. Okay, now let us look a little closer at beginner shields. Beginner shields normally involve a sphere. Simple, straightforward sphere. Almost like a crystal projected from the mind to surround an individual. This is okay. It is a beginning. What you do is visualize your shield. You visualize yourself being surrounded in a spherical object. You do not put any fillings, shaded, or reflective surfaces on at this time. It is the importance of generating the sphere that matters at this point for the beginner. You can practice whenever you wish. You can practice whilst riding your vehicle or walking down one of your areas where you like to congregate. Anytime you can practice your shield. But the beginner must remember to practice as much as possible. The shields that a beginner generates should be simple and basic. Nothing fancy. And it must be practiced and practiced and practiced until it's automatic to create a shield. Now, most individuals have natural shielding. This is basically the aura. It soaks up energy and it soaks up matter. Its purpose is to show what mood you're in and how you are doing, how well you are functioning, what you are thinking. Not necessarily what you are thinking, but more along the lines of what you are thinking about. Certain colors mean you are thinking about certain things, but that is a form of shielding. Very basic, very simple. Everybody uses it. Everybody has it. It's not very tough, but it is a shield. Now, adding the sphere onto this, one has more protection, a little bit better protection, but you do not need to do anything fancy. It is important to visualize the shielding. I will keep on stressing that for the beginner. It is important because it has to become automatic in environments. Okay, let us move up to somebody that has some experience, or let us say the novice. A novice is a level 2. They have the spherical shield down packed. They can produce it whenever they want, whenever they feel like it. It is automatic. Now, the level 2 can start to do some fancy stuff by possibly putting a shiny surface on the outside that reflects energy away, or on the inside to keep energy in. Again, this has to be practiced and practiced often. It has to become automatic. The reason that it becomes automatic is through practice. Why? Because it is necessary. In an environment, you do not have time to sit down and think, what sort of shielding should I have? Should it be externally shiny or internally shiny? Okay, a level 3. A level 3 is adept at both level 1 and level 2. Now, you can add another shield within. In between shield 1 and shield 2, you can add in fillings, something spongy, or something jelly-like. You can create different thicknesses of shields. You can rotate your shield, the internal one rotating to the left, the external rotating to the right. The purpose of it rotating shields is that energy may penetrate one and be spinning in that direction. And as soon as it hits another shield that is spinning in the opposite direction, the energy is cancelled out and it dissipates. However, somebody that is a strong individual projecting these emotions, thoughts, control commands, whatever, if they are stronger than the level 3, they will penetrate and the shield become useless. However, it will slow down the individual enough for the shielder to escape or reevaluate the situation and receive new information. The jelly, liquid, or spongy substance in the middle. This is optional, but it is useful. It absorbs energy and helps to slow down the penetration. A level four is a person that has mastered the previous three levels. Their commands are automatic on producing their shields. They have shields rotating left and right. They have internal, external mirror. Now they can start to use fancy shielding. For example, putting different shaped shields together. Let's just say you are using a octagon and a tetragon. These surfaces reflect at different angles, meaning that the energy needed to dissipate has to be stronger to penetrate. Energy that is focused will strike the surface at an oblique angle and bounce off. If the person is stronger than the shielder, again, penetration will occur, but it takes more time. If you construct a level 4 shield with a dodecahedron and an octagon, with a level 3 shield, spheres inside, that makes it even more difficult. If you have all the shields rotating and spinning, again, it makes it harder. But this has to be practiced and visualized so that it becomes automatic for the situations necessary. You see a threat, your shields go up, you have protection. Okay, a level 5. A level 5 is a person that has mastered the spherical shield, a shield with mirrored surfaces inside or outside, multiple shields with fillings, shields of different shapes and sizes with spherical shields with internal, external polishing with spongy substances. This person can use their shields in different ways for protection, for enveloping an individual, which is opening the external shield and bringing them in, for protection, or to control them in a hostile shield. A hostile shield is when you open up the outer surface of your shield and bring an individual within for either control or protection. You can take their shields and incorporate them into your own shield. I will get into that in a second. By being able to use hostile shielding, it becomes a tool for protection. Its primary function is to do as you command. Now, let us assume you bring an individual within your shield. The individual is in there for protection. You can incorporate their shield by bringing them close to you, asking them to come and stand by you, and shielding them, protecting them, using your shields and their energy to increase the strength of your shields. If they are capable of shielding, you ask them to shield you whilst you shield them, meaning they are the last line of defense. They are the right of the line. There is nothing more. Now, let us assume you bring an individual in for a aggressive shield to control them. You bring them in. You surround them in the external and the second external shield. Now they're within your shield. Their shield, if you are stronger, will be cancelled out. They have no shield at this point. Now you can project thoughts to calm them down. You can talk to them to calm them down. Okay, finally, level 6. A level 6 shielder is somebody that can use all the shields, well, very well. Weller, the better. This individual has the option to use spec shielding, as well as the regular shielding of a level five. You have the ability to create stack shield and other shield. Stack shielding is basically a half dome which sits over an individual. They go over the normal shielding that a level five would have. But this is not a stack shield. A stack shield is where you have a half dome on top of another half dome on top of another half. As many as necessary, with fillings and spikes in different shapes to reflect. Static screen. This is generated from the mine. It is the most effective filler for stack shields. Basically, it's a hiss, a roar, a whine, whatever you wish, that is the strength. A screaming sound placed within the filling of the stack shield. Now, an exceptional level 6 will be able to have stack shielding with different static screens as fillers between them. Let us assume that you have 4 stack screens. On the outer one, there is hissing, roaring noise. On the second from outer, you have a whining. On the third chromatic, you have a high-pitched whistling. On the fourth from outer, you have, let us see, something nice. A howling, whistling, droning. And finally, inside the stack shielding, but external to the natural shielding, you have a mixture of noises. This is a experienced expert level 6. The functions of shielding, again, is for protection or to use to be able to manipulate an individual almost in the coercive way for whatever function is desired by the shield. Shielding used in negative purposes have certain functions which tend to bend within. For example, you have a reflective surface on the external. This blocks negative energy from escaping. Do you have questions?
Yes. In part 2 of the reasons to use shields, you mentioned in environments where people are using mental projections against you. Mm-hmm. I'm assuming that would mean also those people who are using mental probes?
Yes.
Okay. I want to get that on the webpage.
Okay.
All right. Also, is fear useful for a stronger shield or maintaining a calm state of mind?
It is better to maintain a calm state of mind. Okay. If you have fear, the chances that you may panic are there, and if you panic and your shields go down, you are helpless.
Okay. How can you maintain a monitoring system on how your shields are holding up or if you are subjected to an attack?
It is normally a gut feeling, a feeling that you are not doing that well, that the strength of your shields are weakening. Normally, if the person is persistent and continues and they are as strong as you or stronger, they will break your shield eventually.
For example, the test you just gave.
Correct.
Okay. And also, you didn't mention anything about armor.
I did briefly. I mentioned whether it is a suit of armor or other form of shield.
It was part of your probably nailed.
Correct. let us look at armor. Armor can either be shiny externally or internally. It is the final last-ditch protection. It is up to the individual if they wish to visualize themselves in a suit of armor. This is basically a toughened aura. It is a strong shield. However, it does have weaknesses due to the fact that if you have armor, there are normally weak points of the joints where tissue moves, such as at the eyes and the mouth.
Okay. Also, you didn't mention anything about, I don't think you did anyway, your protective beast, creature, animal, whatever you might call it, to watch out for you, such as Mark's dragon.
That's something that I deliberately did not mention. Okay. The reason is that most people, even though they can project and create such a animal as a panther or a dragon, find it a drain.
But now what if that is a more stronger shield for them than a regular shield might be?
That becomes aggressive shielding.
Okay.
That is an offensive posture to assume.
So by the time they get up to like a level 4 or so, they should already have that naturally.
Correct.
Anyway. So there's no need to mention that.
Right.
Okay, that's kind of what I figured on that one. All right, that's all the questions I have on shielding.
Okay.
Oh, one more. You went through pretty much all of them pretty extensively here, but would it be helpful to put the archive tape on shielding that you did the very first part in
No.
at some point? All right. In that case, this will be an excellent tape. I'll edit it as CU.
Thank you. Any more questions?
No more questions, but I had one more thing I wanted to mention. Greetings, Ramon.
Greetings, Ramon. Thank you. Live long, prosper, and I will be back. You come down here, ruining my day. I'm dragging you through the desert with your dreadlocks all over the place. And what is that smell? Sorry, I had to do that. You know what that's from?
Yeah, I've got a pretty good idea.
Hey, that's one for your computer that you could put on there.
Yeah, I have a
main
file for it yet, but if I do, I'll track it.
Uh-huh.
Okay, cool.
Okay.
Let's see, next we'll get into Men in Black and Contact.
Probably.